Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Tell someone next to you, I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. How many are glad to be in God's house? How many are glad to be saved tonight? Amen. We're talking about giving glory to God in those songs, and I want to give glory to God for a powerful revival in Colorado Springs. We had a move of God there. Amen. Lots and lots of people got saved. Amen. Lots of people got touched and healed and delivered. And I heard lots of people got saved here as well on Sunday. So God is on the move. Amen. I want to get into the Word tonight. Get your Bibles open to Psalms. I'll tell you where in a second. But let's pray and welcome the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. Father, we thank you tonight for those that are in this house tonight, those that are watching online, those that are on the live stream, Lord, later, months from now, that your word would go forth and touch them. We pray for every need to be met tonight. God, we thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think tonight. Father, open our hearts to receive your word because it has to be received in our spirits, God, not by our flesh. And we thank you for glorifying your word through, Lord Jesus, the works that you do in our lives. And we give you glory for everything you do in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want to ask a question. I want to kind of a little bit for a second piggyback off of last. Oh, by the way, if we have any guests, let's let them know that we're glad they're here tonight. Amen. If you're here for the first time, maybe you were here Sunday, but I didn't see you, so you're a guest tonight. Amen. I want to piggyback just for a second, a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit off of last Wednesday when I talked about the heavens declare your glory, and then obviously the eclipse happened on Monday, and how many know that a lot of people came to Texas to see this eclipse, and we actually had to get an early flight because our flight originally was going to be right at the time that the eclipse was happening, and I did not want to deal with that traffic. So we ended up getting a very early flight, a 5 a.m. flight from Denver. So we left the hotel at 2 a.m., and Pastor Dustin took us. So it was a long day, didn't get much sleep, but we wanted to get back before the madness. People, they say close to 1 million people came in to Dallas from around the world to see this eclipse. And I want to just, it happened wherever you were, and it was an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing to see God's wonders, amen. But what I want to talk about tonight is I began to listen a little bit to some of the people on the news that were in different places. I don't know if any of you heard any reports or any interviews or anything, but it blew me away how so many people were so amazed and blown away by this eclipse. Some people were crying. Some people were in tears. One lady in particular was from England, from the UK, and she was with her son, and she was just uncontrollably crying and talking about how amazing it was to see this. And so then the BBC, which is the British broadcasting company, reported, this is what it says, awe-inspiring cosmological events can powerfully influence our psychology. Let me say that again. This is the BBC. It's kind of like our big radio, our big news here. I don't know what that'd be, Fox, if it'd be CNN, whatever it is, but over there it's the British broadcasting. Awe-inspiring cosmological events can powerfully influence our psychology. And they said in this story that May 28th of 585 BC, that's a long time ago, what is now present-day Turkey, the Medes, an ancient people from modern-day Iran, and the Lydians, a kingdom from Turkey, had been fighting for 6 years. And according to the Greek historian, the war shows little signs of ending, with neither side making significant progress. It says it will take a solar eclipse to end the bloodshed. Just as the battle was growing warm and day was of a sudden change into night, these two groups of people observed the change in the sky, stopped fighting, and were anxious to have terms of peace agreed on. So they're saying something, this eclipse caused peace. And so I'm listening to all these interviews. I'm listening to what people say happens. And the only thing I can think of is how much these people are in awe of something that God has made, and the reason they were crying and the reason they were touched is because they were seeing the handwork of God, right? But what blows me away, and I can't understand, and it's sad, is so many people that were looking up to the sky and admiring the workmanship of God don't give God any glory for it. Does anybody else get amazed by that? Some were talking about, oh, we just have to thank the scientists. We just have to thank all these mathematicians that are so smart that can figure out when this is going to happen so that we can enjoy this amazing event. And so they're giving glory to the scientists. They're giving glory to NASA. They're giving glory to Mother Nature, which I'll get into in a little bit here. I didn't hear anybody say in any interview that God is amazing, right? And so tonight, I want to talk about we need to give God all the glory. All the glory goes to God. Amen? How many know in our lives that's what he's looking for tonight? In everything we do, in everything that happens, like an event like this, we should be proclaiming that's God. All, say that with me, all. That means everything. That means the little things and the big things. All the glory belongs to God. Amen? I read this verse last week. I'll read it again. Psalms 19:1. When they looked up into that eclipse and they glorified scientists and NASA and all these other things, they were really seeing the handwork of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Amen? So then I want to look at Psalms 14, because it's amazing to me, I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me how people can be so smart and so dumb at the same time. How can you be both? You can be a scientist, you can be so smart, you can be studied, you can look at all these things that God does and then don't realize there has to be a creator. Amen? That things don't just come from nothing. And you look at anything in the world. If you've ever flown in a plane, it's an amazing miracle to me to fly in a plane. No matter how much they try to explain to me how that works, it's always going to be amazing to me that humongous plane with 200 people on a small scale, with all that gas and all that metal and all the ladies' suitcases. Amen. Just kidding. There's some guys that carry heavy too. But all that stuff, amen, and people and gas and all, how that thing hangs in the air. And there's obviously a scientific way and someone could explain it. But the truth is, whoever invented that plane, the Wright brothers or whoever it was, God gave them the wisdom to make that plane. If they went to the moon, God gave them the wisdom to go to the moon. God did all this, but God never gets the glory. That should never be the case with us. Matter of fact, we are made and created by God for one main purpose, and that's to give him glory. So tonight, if you're not giving God the glory like you should, then I hope that you'd begin to think, I need to take every opportunity I have to give God glory. Psalms 14, look what this says, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that crazy? Only a fool could say there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who does good. And then look at this. The Lord looks down, verse 2, from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. You know what? I'm going to finish this verse in a second. What I take that is God is saying, is there anybody down there that is smart enough to realize everything amazing you see is from me? He's just looking for a simple person that goes, that's God. That's God. You see that right now, there's no sunset right now because it's been raining all day. But you see that sunset, that's God. How can you look at the cloud formations? How can you look at that sky? How can these people possibly look up into the heavens and see something like that happen and credit everybody but God? Amen? And so it says in verse 3, they have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. there's none who does good. And I take that not only in doesn't sinning and not sinning. I take that for people who do not credit God with what he deserves to be credited with. It says, no, not one. People see God's handiwork. I want to ask you, do you see God's handiwork in everything? When you're going through life and you see something amazing, do you stop and look at that and go, that's God? As a believer, we should. We should be constantly worshiping God for his grace, power, amazing creativity. Amen. The way he's done things is so amazing. But what blows me away is how people, here's the crux of the message, how people worship the creation but don't worship the creator. That's everybody's problem today. We see these things and we go to the scientist. We go to the doctor. We go to the person, the architect, the engineer of that thing instead of the great engineer, the great architect, which is God. Amen? Everything the Bible says that's good comes from God. So people see his handiwork and they don't recognize the one that created the things that they're worshiping. So you hear the word a lot, Mother Nature. How many have ever heard that? Some of you might say it. I would commend you tonight not to use those words. Oh, it's Mother Nature when you're talking about the weather or the climate, because Mother Nature is not God. Mother Nature is a Greek god of Greek mythology, and the first Greek god was actually a goddess. Her name was G-A-I-A. I'm guessing that's Gaia or something like that. Her name was Mother Earth. She who created, listen to this, I'm just going to read this, and you tell me if it's easier to believe this or easier to believe that God created the world. Who created herself out of primordial chaos. Yeah, I know. From her fertile womb, all life sprang, and unto Mother Earth, all living things must return after their allotted span of life is over. Gaia, as Mother Nature, listen, personifies the entire ecosystem of planet Earth. Mother Nature is always working to achieve and maintain harmony, wholeness, and balance within the environment. Mother Nature heals, Mother Nature nurtures, Mother Nature supports all life on this planet, and ultimately all life and health depend on her. In time, nature heals all ills. That's the belief of the Greek goddess Gaia, who is what, when you say, maybe you say this as a believer and don't know what you're saying, you call something Mother Nature, you're giving credit and glory to a goddess from Greek mythology. Okay, I'm not going to ask who's ever said that. I'll be admonished. I think I've probably said it at some point. Oh, that was Mother Nature or whatever, just because we hear it so much, okay? So I don't think you're the only one. Just don't use it anymore. Amen? Because it's not a God. Here's why. Here's why this is important. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Look what God says in his word. Is that thing not working back there? Because I can only see music. It's okay if you can't, but it's nice to be able to look back there and see the verse. Let's give a hand to these awesome ladies that are in the sound booth. Amen. I'm so used to looking back there. I've got the verses right here, but I'm so used. Watch this. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, watch this, am a what? Jealous God. It's funny. Some people hear that and they go, how could you worship a God who's jealous? I've heard people say that. Remember that we are created in God's image. And this is not a jealousy like we have. This is a, I am God, I am, and nobody else deserves credit but me. And God can say that. He's the only one that can say things and not be prideful, because he's God. Amen? For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So we see that God says, I'm a jealous God. He does not want to share his glory with anybody. Look what Isaiah chapter 42 says, verses 5 through 8, if you're taking notes. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and the earth? Mother Nature or God the Creator? Who created the heavens and stretched them out? Who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it? who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. Watch this. As a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison. See, Mother Nature has never opened blind eyes. Mother Nature has never got anybody out of prison. Mother Nature has never done a miracle. Mother Nature has done none of those things. So we don't give glory to Mother Nature. We give glory to the Creator. Amen? Those who sit in darkness from the prison house, I am the, watch this, I am the Lord, that is my name. Watch, in my glory, I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Amen? So all the glory belongs to God. Everything you do in your life should be credited to God. If anything good is happening in your life, you need to get in your vocabulary, not because I'm telling you to, but because it's what it's God working in your life, where you say, to God be the glory. All glory to God. Sometimes you might hear somebody say that, and you might think, oh, they're just being religious when they say that. No, they've learned that all glory goes to God. And I don't want any glory for anything that happens in my life. If anything good is happening in your life, it's because God has been good. Amen? Amen? That's the only reason, because God has been good. He's faithful and he's awesome and he's wonderful and he's powerful and he deserves all the glory. When you give God glory, great things happen. Amen? Because, here's why. Think about a miracle. If I want you to come up real quick, I forgot your name. I'm horrible at names. Somebody, Wayne. Wayne, come up here. This is a good moment to give glory to God. Amen? I'll help you, Wayne. Don't worry. Wayne's been coming here for a few months now, and God has been touching him and moving in his life. He's got some physical issues. We're believing God for an even greater issue tonight than he's going to testify about. But tell him what you told me, just that part, right before service.
I went for a surgery consult with a neurosurgeon, and there was supposed to be a nodule or a ruptured disc there. And he come in, he sit down in his chair, he spun around, he goes like this. Come on. He said, it's gone. He said, there's nothing there.
Amen. Show him.
I got the proof right here. There's nothing there.
Amen. God's a healer, isn't he? And you came up for prayer one time, and you couldn't even bend your back, huh? And you're healed. And now he's praying for a miracle in his liver, right? Put your hands forward right now. I said, do you believe that God can do that? He says, I'm taking this one at a time. That's okay, amen? But if God can heal a ruptured disc, he can heal a liver. Father, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, we all have already asked for this, and we thank you that it's done. Lord, just as he got that miracle from the doctor today, where a doctor opens his hand and says, I don't know what to say, you're going to do the same thing, God, in a few weeks when he goes to see the doctor about his liver. And they're going to find nothing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, Wayne is going to be an evangelist for you, and he's going to glorify your name so that you will continue to do miracles, not only in his life, but in the lives of many people he touches. Devil, loose your hands off of his liver right now and leave this body right now in Jesus' mighty name. By the stripes and the blood of Jesus, you are healed. And we give you glory and honor and praise. Amen. Amen. Did you feel something right there? God's going to do it. Amen. Warm. Amen. Praise God. Look at that face. There's nothing like the face of a miracle. So why does God do that? God does that to get glory. So just real quick, let me just throw a plug in. If God has done something for you and you have not testified, be careful you don't lose it. When you get healed, when God does a miracle, when God, some breakthrough happens, you need to testify. Because just so you know, the reason he did it was not just to make your life better. Oh, I'm not in any pain anymore. That's great. But he did it for somebody else to glorify God. And it starts with you. If you don't glorify God for your miracle, how's anybody else going to glorify God for your miracle? So it's all about that. The reason God does a miracle is that his name would be glorified. And so if we begin, watch this, if we begin to glorify God when he does something miraculous, guess what? He'll do it again. He'll say, that's a person right there that will talk about me, so let me do another miracle in their life. They're going to push all the glory up to me, so let me use them in their life. If I give them favor, if I put my hand upon their life, if I do great things through them, they're not going to take credit for it. They're not going to say, I did this. They're not going to say, I'm a great Christian, or I'm this or that or the other. They're going to say, this is God, and I give God all the glory for what he did in my life. Amen? And if you do that, he'll keep doing it. That's not just for a miracle. If God has blessed you in your business, you should give God the glory. If God has blessed you with a talent, you should give God the glory. If God has given you favor, you should give God the glory. Whatever it is, all glory goes to God. Listen to this quote from A.W. Tozer. This is powerful. The glory of God is the health of the universe. The glory of God is the health of the universe. And where God is not glorified, that place is sick. Let me say that again for some of you that are tired on Wednesday night and maybe half here. Okay? Listen to this. The glory of God is the health of the universe. When God is getting glory, maybe this last week, maybe Monday, as I mentioned last week, maybe Monday was a really good time for God to be glorified on that eclipse. But from what I heard, and I'm not saying he wasn't, we're doing it now, we're doing our part, but from what I heard, no one gave God glory. I didn't hear one interview from anybody saying, wow, this is amazing that God would do this. And so that makes the universe sick. That makes things bad when God's not getting glory. But when he is, it's healthy. Amen? Let's look at Romans chapter 1, 18. These are some powerful verses. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Listen, this is talking about a lot of things. But I think one of the worst sins we can make is when we don't give God glory. When we take the glory ourselves or we take the credit for something that God did, that's bad. Amen? Whenever you see somebody blessed, they're a person who understands God did this. God did it. God gave me the talent. God gave me the ability. God, you know, this is a totally off of my, not off my message, but I'm thinking of when someone's blessed financially. You know, Deuteronomy says 18, God gives people the power to get wealth. How many wealthy people today do you see saying, God did this? How many, just think about it. How many rich people do you know that go, this was God? They're talking about their business. And I saw this little clip the other day of this guy who's in front of a jet, and some guy goes around and he asks business people questions. Is this your jet? And he says, of course it's my jet. And he said, well, how did you make your money? He said, how much money have you made? He said, hundreds of millions of dollars. And the guy interviews him a little bit about how to make money and all that. Nowhere in there did he say, God has been so good to me, or God gave me favor to do this. Now, I'm not saying nobody does. I'm just saying, how many times do you see somebody who is wealthy give God the glory if the Bible says he gives us power to get wealth? Right? So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, watch this, if you don't see anything else tonight, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. By the way, these verses I'm reading right here, if you've ever heard somebody say, what about those people over in the jungle who've never heard the gospel? What about them? Romans 1:20 is the answer. Okay? Romans. It says, for they're clearly understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without Leave this up for just a second. What? Okay, let me read that again. For since the creation of the world, God speaks from the skies with those beautiful stars. He speaks from the sun and the moon. He speaks loudly. Saturday night in Colorado Springs, he was speaking loudly, I am God, through something called 80-mile-an-hour winds. And we were in a tiny home. We didn't know if the roof was going to come off that place. Right? He speaks through tornadoes. He speaks through earthquakes. Oh, those do damage. No, he's shaking the earth. Every time something happens in the world, we should go, that's God speaking. Right? Have you ever saw lightning and thought, wow, God, what a show. Let me just throw this in here for a second. I was telling my daughter about this today. The eclipse, can you imagine how amazing this eclipse was? How people went crazy. The money people spent to travel from the UK and all around the world to Texas to see a four-minute thing. Can you imagine what the rapture is going to be like? Amen? That ain't got nothing on the rapture. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ begin to come out of the grave and the lightning strikes and the thunder happens and earthquakes take place and the church goes up into heaven to be with God and we get to go past that sun into heaven. How many are looking for that day? Forget a solar eclipse. We can put some sunglasses on and see. We worship the sun. Not just that sun. We worship the sun. Amen? Not the sun God, the Son of God. We worship God himself. We should be more in awe of the fact that the God who put that 400 times bigger than the moon's sun in that solar system is the God who knows how many hairs are on our heads tonight and knows what we're going through and knows our every need and loves us. Amen? I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's all right. I'll just move on. So let's finish here. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. So he doesn't have to have an evangelist. He doesn't have to have anybody preach. He says, through my creation, everything is seen, being understood by the things that are what? Made. Creation is proof, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not, here it is, glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Isn't it amazing what being thankful can do? But became futile in their thoughts, or futile, however you want to say that, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. To me, somebody who thinks they're wise and gives glory to a man for something God made is a fool. And change the glory, here's that word again, glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Just for a second, do you realize today how many gods there are in this world that are man-made? People worship all... In India, they have millions of them. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I like milk and I love steak. Amen. But how in the world are you going to worship a cow? Can you not pick a better animal? If I was going to worship an animal, it'd be like a lion, you know, or even a giraffe. Something really cool, big, tall, strong, but a cow. No disrespect, but lots of people in India worship cows. And all around the world, people worship things. And listen, in countries where there's lots of idolatry, it sounds crazy, but people do it all the time. Carry statues around, and you go into these places, and we've talked about that before. That's why we don't have anything on the walls in here, because we're not worshiping an idol. We're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But now, today, we have in our world, in our country, lots of idols. And he's saying here, instead of worshiping the Creator, we have started to worship the creation. And just stop there for a second and think about it. We're all guilty of that. We're somehow made by the enemy to worship things that should not be worshipped, to admire, to lift up things that should not be lifted up. Every one of you in here, hopefully before you got saved, not now, hopefully, had, whether it was an athlete, a singer, an actor, somebody who you thought put the moon in the sky. Are you honest with me tonight? Am I right? Or am I not talking to anybody real? Hopefully before you got saved, there should be nobody now. You can look at somebody and go, wow, they're a great athlete. Wow, they're a great singer, whatever. But if you idolize somebody and give them the place of God, that's idolatry. But think back, that country western singer, that actor, that athlete, that team, that whatever. You thought, wow, there's no one like them in the world. That's God's place. That's God's space. Amen? And so he's saying that. He's saying we've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Birds and four-footed animals and creeps. There it is, four-footed animals. Cow. And creeping things. Okay? Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God, watch this, for a lie, and here it is, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. See that there? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we don't give God the glory that he deserves, we open a door for craziness. We open a door to be given over to that futile mind that can do all kinds of crazy things. That goes on there. It's not the only thing, but that goes on there in the next few verses, if you know the scriptures, to talk about homosexuality, to talk about sexual perversion, and all these different things. And so basically, if we don't give God the glory that he deserves and worship the creator, then the creation becomes God. Amen? All the glory belongs to God. Amen. Musicians, you can begin to come. You must have wore them out, Pastor Mario, Sunday. Revelation, watch this, as the musicians are coming. All the glory belongs to God. Amen? When was the last time you saw a rainbow and went, wow. Wow, God, you're so amazing. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, because listen, we got a future event coming, actually events, that are going to be so amazing, we're going to need glorified bodies not to die. Amen. It's going to be so powerful, we're going to need glorified bodies. Amen. I was thinking today, when the rapture happens, I hope my body doesn't change into incorruptible before I cry a little bit. In a good way, right? Happy tears. Because it's going to be so, what's coming is so amazing. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to say tonight? The world is worshiping the craziest things. We are in relationship with the Creator tonight. The one who did all these things. The world stops every time there's an eclipse. The world stops every time something major happens. And we are serving and are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who created everything. We should be very, very thankful for that and very, very excited about that. Amen? I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Watch this. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Jesus is coming soon, and he is going to be brighter than the sun. Amen? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Amen? I am the first and the last. Watch this. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys of Hades and of death" tonight. Amen. How many know that's something to get excited about? That we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's stand tonight all over this place and give the Lord another hand tonight as you stand. Just give him praise. Just worship him. Come on, just give him a shout of praise tonight. Glorify him. Come on, as you're clapping, as you're shouting, as you're praying, begin to glorify him. Begin to thank him for all the good things he's done for you, all the wonderful things you have, all the things he's shown you that are so amazing. God, we glorify you tonight. We worship you tonight. We magnify you tonight, God. All the glory, all the glory, all the glory belongs to you, Jesus. None other, Father. Hallelujah. 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 As heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this place tonight, do you know the one I'm talking about? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Nobody else can say, "I have the keys. I have the keys to death and Hades, that eternal place of suffering and punishment." He says, "I got the keys. You don't have to go there. I was dead, but I'm alive now forevermore." Hallelujah. And he is as bright shining as the sun tonight. And that God that I'm talking about is not an animal that will die. He's not an image that somebody carved out of metal. He is the creator tonight. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. How many tonight, real quickly, don't know the Jesus I'm describing? Don't know him personally. I'm not talking about you've been to church before or you know about the Bible or you heard the name of Jesus. I'm saying, have you committed your life to Jesus tonight? Tonight, if you want to do that, this is your night. Maybe you're watching online, listening on the podcast. Every service that goes by, we're one day closer to meeting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming soon. Tonight's the night of your salvation. How many all over this place tonight could say, "I need Jesus, and I've never accepted him before, but tonight's my night"? Just lift up your hand and put it right back down. All over this place, say, "That's me tonight. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know the Lord, but I want to know him tonight." How many? All over. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're running from the Lord. Maybe you need to get right tonight. Just say, "That's me tonight. I'm going to change and get back on track tonight." Amen. Maybe tonight you're I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but maybe tonight you're not giving God the glory he deserves. Let's give God all the glory tonight. Let's change our talk. Let's make sure that we're reflecting everything amazing in our life up to God tonight. Amen. Let's open up these altars for a few minutes and let's come and glorify God. Tonight, I don't want you to pray for anything else tonight. Maybe you got a need. You can pray for that in a minute, but I want you to come and I want you to begin to worship God and I want you to begin to glorify God. Lord, I am so thankful for everything you do in my life. Every good thing comes from you. Lord, I want to lift up your name. I want to make sure that you know that I'm thankful for who you are. Thankful for saving me on the cross. Thankful that, God, any health I have, any blessing I have, any talent I have, any provision I have is from you. Tonight, I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And Father, we pray that our hearts would be turned to you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As you're at this altar, we're just going to spend a few moments and just totally channel our worship towards God and glorifying his name tonight. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.